Let's go ahead and jump in. I don't think we need to spend too much time talking about modal things, hop-ups, layers, windows, dialogues. I think people have a pretty good grasp on that now. It is such a common component in our digital experience today to have layered information. One of the best things that has come out of the plethora of touch devices that are out there, smartphones and tablets now, is that people are much, much more comfortable now with layered experiences than they were just a few years ago. So it used to be that everyone thought about their digital interface experience in terms of time, right? I was on this page, then I was on that page, now I am on this page, and some other page is in my future. And so people thought about how they were moving through the digital universe in terms of a timeline, right? I'm here and I go back to another page. But what we see now with touch devices, we have smaller screens, the content density is much lower, the touch zone is much larger, so tiny little buttons, tiny little links can't be there. We need big fat finger-sized things. So we get less on the page, so we have come to rely much more on the metaphor of layered content. You are in the same place. Here is the main page that you were on, but now there are things stacked up on top of it. And so we have supplemented our concept of virtual space, which tended to be very linear and time-based, now has the concept of depth. And I have a sense that I am still on the same page, I am just a layer above it. Or a layer above the layer. Or a layer above the layer above the layer above the original page. And as long as we are providing good context cues as to which layer you are on and where you started from and how to move up and down, people don't lose their sense of place. So sense of place is a really important thing, no matter if we are thinking temporally or if we are thinking spatially, right? The layers is a spatial thing, and the sequence is a temporal or time-based thing. So sense of place overall is going to be one of our most critical things. Now, in classic web design, we would do things for sense of place, like the nav bar would have a highlight state for the section that I'm in. Right? We might have a breadcrumb that says home, category, subcategory, you are here. Something like that. So we would have a breadcrumb that indicates where you are. So we generate the sense of place with really clear cues like that, but also through content. So the page header, the content on the page, even the supplemental information around the main page give us a sense of place. So if you land on a page in the middle of Amazon.com, so today, I got a Samsung Galaxy Tab last week, and it doesn't come with any sleeve or binder or anything like that, and I know I'm just gonna plop my butt down on it and crack that big gorgeous 10-inch glass screen. So I wanna get something to protect it from my butt. and so I went Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 cover or something like that. First link drops me into some page on an electronics gear site. And it was really easy for me to understand where I was because there were highlights in the nav, there was a breadcrumb, there was a page title, there was contextual content, there was cross-sell for other covers, there was cross-sell for other Samsung products, there was cross-sell for other tablets. I could not have had more clear cues as to where I was, and it was all contextual. So it doesn't matter if we're doing it in layers or in time or if we're doing it in layers. As long as we provide those cues and people understand what the navigational mechanism is, they'll know where they are. And that's the most important thing about any of these layered experiences, is people simply have to know what layer they're on, and they have to know how they can move back down to where they were, or back up to where they want to be. So I won't go into too much more about that because we just have a plethora of great examples. I am going to change that right now. Let's try this. It's at least giving me 10 minutes. That is the fastest 5 minutes I've ever. Okay, all right, there we go. Okay, any questions on the idea of layered experiences, modal hop-ups, dialogues, light boxes, things
what
like that?
What does modal mean?
So we have modal, modeless, and stateful are the words that you will come across. Modal simply means that we are temporarily presenting something. We are changing the mode of the page. I was looking at a grid of thumbnails, and then when I picked an image, a lightbox layer popped up, and I'm seeing one image at a time. And I can probably step through them forward and backward. But that lightbox is modal. It's there because I requested it. It's a temporary change to the state of the page. And when I am done with the lightbox, I hit the close button, and I return to the main underlying page. So that's all we mean. It's just a temporary change to the state or mode of the page. All right, let's talk about wizards and the guided processes now. So those of you who have been around in the computer world for the past 30 years will probably remember the term wizards. We don't use the term so much anymore, but can you think of situations where the term wizard is what we actually referred to it and what we said? What is a wizard? What does it do?
Like old word processor, Word doc, like, well, Word, Microsoft Word. They used to have like this, you know, paperclip wizard.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call Clippy a wizard so much as an annoyance.
Yeah, it is very annoying. Yeah. But I'm just using
wizards
that
do something specific though.
They walk you through a process.
Pardon?
They walk you through a process.
Yes, yeah. A wizard walks you through a process. So now guided processes is the more generic term, right? So we can say that all cats are mammals, but not all mammals are cats. So it's the same thing that all wizards are guided processes, but not all guided processes are wizards. So guided process is the larger generic umbrella term. When we talk about a guided process, it simply means that we are putting structure around a workflow or a process to help people manage it in a step-by-step or incremental way. Guided processes can be linear or non-linear. You know, you can have a linear guided process that says step one, step two, step three, step four. You could have a non-linear one. So if you've ever assembled a custom vacation on a travel site, you can bounce back and forth between dates for the airfare, selecting a hotel, choosing some event, going back to adjust your hotel because the event that you wanted isn't on the date you thought you were going to be there. So you can assemble things in a very non-linear fashion. I can put all of these things together. A great example of a guided process that is non-linear is creating a custom product. So I can go to Vans and I can design my own, which do you want? Era 106, slip-on. Or old school? Slip-on Vans?
Yeah.
Okay. Shoe size?
10, yeah.
Start with a white or start with a black?
Black.
The designers in the room. And at this point, the shoe is done. It is all black. There is no further customization necessary. You can't see this. Okay, I'm sorry to bum you out there, Sean. But we want to be able to see what we're doing, so let me pick a white shoe. Okay, so now, and if you ever wanted to know what the names of the bits of the shoes were, the vamp is that top portion that goes over the top of your shoe. So I can change the color and I can jump around to all of these things in whatever sequence I want. So it is structured or guided in the sense that there, it's guided in the sense that there is a structure to the page. These are the configurable components. I can choose one. This is an accordion pane, and at any given time I can be editing one feature, but I can move among the features non-linearly. I can go back and forth as many times as I want. I've got multiple views of the shoe so I can see what's happening. Right? So I can see it, and then I can say, no, that's really pretty nasty. Let's go with plaid instead and go even nastier.
You have no design sense at all.
Yeah, so, but this is guided in that there's a step-by-step. What shoe model do you want? Do you need men's or women's, and what size? What base color do you want? Here are all of the components. So it's very guided, but it is a non-linear process at times. So this is a guided process, but it's not a wizard, right? It's because I can move around. Wizards, on the other hand, they are guided processes, but the whole goal of a wizard is to take what would be a nearly unmanageably complex experience and break it down into a linear step-by-step process. And there's very often logic behind it, so that what you do in step one determines the set of choices you are given in step two, which then determines the choices you are given in step three, and so on. You only see one step at a time. You move in the forward direction. You might be able to go back and edit something, but you go in one direction. So it tends to be much more rigid. There tends to be logic behind it, because it's like a big branching tree structure, right? You start here, and there are three choices. You pick this one, and there are four choices. Pick this one, and there are three choices. Then there's two, then there's four. So there might be a massive tree structure here. Everyone starts here, but they end up at maybe one of 50 places at the end, having taken some route through that. But each one of these layers is a step in the process to get you to the end. So wizards are used when something is really complex, that if you just presented people all of the options at the outset and expected them to think about the logic and the contingencies and what they're supposed to do next, they would fail miserably.
I wonder what kind of designer work on TurboTax?
Probably someone who knows the code and doesn't talk to the user. So the original wizards that we encountered were software installers for desktops, right? So you put in the CD and it auto runs something and it says, welcome, Install-O-Matic is going to put the Acme app on your computer, right? And then it says, you know, like, do you agree to our, you know, end user license agreement? 40 scrolling pages later, accept. What is your license number? Okay. Where do you want to install it? Do you want the custom, the standard, or the brief install custom? Which options do you want? Blah, blah, blah. Which files would you like to be associated with? Is anyone who's installed a music app gets that question? Which file formats do you want to be associated with this? Blah, blah, blah. 6-7 steps later, you've made a whole series of choices and you hit, okay, now I am ready, install, and then the computer does it. You can imagine how much more complex that experience would be if the computer, if you put in the disk and it simply said, okay, Acme app is installed, set it up now. Where do I start it? What do I do? Do I go into a preferences? Do I register it? How do you know my license? So all the things that were given to me in a very structured, orderly, linear sequence, I would not know to do all of those without there being some user guide or step-by-step instructions. So software installers were the original wizards. We used to have more wizards on the web than we do today. We have far fewer of them today. Because generally speaking, most experiences are not so complex that we need a strictly linear step-by-step, I'm just going to show you one thing at a time type experience. people are semi-intelligent. They can handle some degree of decision-making and complexity. So we don't need to worry about that. But there are cases where you may need something very, very structured. Has anyone ever set up like linkage between bank accounts or brokerage accounts or between PayPal and your bank? Okay, so there's a situation where you might have experienced a wizard. If you've ever set up PayPal to be able to handle electronic transfers with your bank account, it's a very linear, structured experience, and PayPal tells you exactly what to do next and then waits for it to happen before they tell you what the next step is. So the first thing is you put in your bank and you put in your bank account number, and PayPal says, in the next 48 hours, we are going to transfer some amount of money into your account. It's going to be small, somewhere between 1 and 7 cents. We're not going to tell you what it is. When we think the transfer is complete, we will send you an email requesting the value of with a link, requesting the value of that transfer to verify your account. So they do the electronic transfer, in 48 hours you get an email that says, check your bank account, then follow this link and tell us how much was transferred into your account. So it's a wizard that happens over a course of days, but it is very, very structured because it's a complex thing to set up electronic funds transfer among financial institutions. So they've broken it down into manageable steps. That's one of the few examples that I can think of wizards. When you're buying something online, is the checkout process a wizard or is it a guided process? This is a tough one.
More like, it's guided process.
The checkout?
Yeah, the checkout process. I'm going to pay now. I have my shoes, I have my Vans, now I want to pay.
Because it does things behind the scenes that you're not doing specifically. Like when you input something.
Right, in some cases, there may be some logic involved, right? So one of the markers of a wizard is that there's very often some logic behind it. The choice I make in step two determines what options I am shown in step three. Well, that kind of happens to an extent in the checkout, right? If I say credit card, I get one experience. If I say PayPal, I get another. So there's a little bit of logic that is involved, but the checkout process is not always completely linear either. So sometimes if you've got a one-page checkout, there's nothing to stop you from going to the bottom of that page and filling in all of the information backwards up to the top, right? Sometimes there's a two-step process. There is nothing stopping you from going to page two, filling it in, and going back to page one and filling that in. So it's not always a strictly linear process, but sometimes there is logic involved. The reason I ask about that is it's not always a black and white issue of this is a wizard, this is a simpler, more generic guided process. So it's easy to say all of these experiences are guided processes, and then we can narrow our definition and say, look, we're just going to say that a wizard is a strictly linear, it is a logic-based experience that is making it easier for people to complete very complex tasks. We're just breaking down really complex tasks, there's logic behind it, and it is a step-by-step linear experience. If we say that's our definition, we can identify a wizard, and then everything else is just a guided process. So I typically would say that checkout, it's a guided process. There's a bit of logic, a bit of non-linearity, a bit of step-by-step action to it. But because it lives in the gray area, we just call it the more generic guided process. Okay, so for the sites that you're working on, what potentially could be a wizard or guided process? So the Hardy Farms folks, you have an easy one, right? Yeah, checkout is a guided process. Where are you shipping it? How are you paying for it? What's your billing address? Is this information correct? Yes, send me my peanuts. And you hit the button at the end. So it tends to be structured step by step. What other things that you might have on your experiences could be guided processes where we're linear or non-linear, but we're breaking things down into smaller, more manageable steps for people? Any? Well, I know Feeling Good has some, right? There's at least two things that Feeling Good could be doing.
Buying a book.
Buying a book, paying for the book, right?
Register for workshops.
Yeah, registering for a workshop. I mean, Sean had one wireframe up that had three steps in it. Here's the date, or no, you were Casmora Cave Tours.
Yeah.
So Casmora Cave Tours is the same thing as registering for a workshop, right? It's like reserving a tour spot. So it's a guided process. We're taking people step by step through. Would we say that something is a guided process if we have a three-page article and at the bottom of page one it says next? Is pagination a guided process? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, we typically would not say pagination is a guided process. Pagination is like a form of navigation, right? We're just going to the next page, the next content piece. Why do we make that distinction for the guided process of pagination is not, but making a reservation for a tour is? What's the key difference there?
There's
The interaction, the user input. So if the user is generating content, if they are manipulating or modifying content, chances are it's a guided process. If they're just passively looking at it, chances are it's just pagination, right? I'm just going to more content. There's no difference in going from page one to page two to page three in an article as there is from going from women's hats to women's shoes to women's mittens on a shopping site. They're just page, page, page. I don't know if there are such a thing as women's mittens, but it's just what I thought of. Any questions around error messages, modal hop-ups, windows, dialogues, wizards, or guided processes? If I asked you at the beginning of class next Tuesday, what is a guided process? Could you give me a concise definition? Hint, hint. It's not a pop quiz. But it is the kind of thing that it's the more generic. So that's the key thing to remember. We're breaking down things into smaller, more manageable steps. In cognitive psychology, we talk about problem solving. And one of the techniques in problem solving is called sub-goal decomposition. And that's what a guided process is. So the underlying psychology of this is taking a larger complex problem and breaking it down into manageable, doable chunks or pieces, what are called sub-goals. So if you have a goal, pardon? 12-step program. Retirement planning is another great example. Dog training, that's another one. So if you have a, in retirement planning, if you have, I want to retire, you know, at age 65 with $2 million, and I'm age 55, ha, good luck if you haven't started yet. But if you're 21 and that's your goal, how do I get there? What do I do? So you give people small incremental things to help them achieve their larger goal. I want to retire with lots of money. What are the first smaller steps now? So sub-goal decomposition, and that's what a guided process is doing. All this stuff I have to do, just give it to me one small piece and it feels manageable. All right, so if you don't have questions about guided processes or wizards, from the examples that we have here, I already showed you Market Watch and the layered content. A few years ago, Gap.com was one of the first websites to implement what has since come to be known as the Quick View. So when you're looking at a whole grid of products and you want more detail on one of them, but you don't want to go to that product page and then have to come back to the search results, when you mouse over, you get the little banner that says Quick View, and you click on it and you get a layer, and it shows you basic details right there. And if you don't like it, you just hit close and you're still on your search results. So that was a big innovation that they introduced.
They're the first one did it?
They were the first major retailer to introduce that, yes. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, that was when the Gap site went down for 3 weeks. And they were like, oh, we're just having a few issues. And yeah, they didn't have any online sales for almost a month because they broke everything. But when they came back, they had all these great innovations. Inline video and the Quick View and stuff like that. Yahoo, the Yahoo homepage was one of the first to implement drag and drop of the modules to customize the My Yahoo page. So that was a nice example of some modal experiences, because when you click on one of the modules on your My Yahoo page, it actually now, today they changed the design, but it looks like it lifts up off the page, right? and you drag it around and it's got transparency, you can see through it, and as you move it around, valid places where it can be dropped highlight in green, invalid places highlight in red. Simple color cues, green, good, can drop it there, red, no go, doesn't fit. So people could figure out where to drag and drop things. Yahoo, that was a really interesting one, because when they first introduced that, they had very few visual cues to tell people that drag and drop was available. And so they evolved it over time. And one of the things that they discovered is that if you give something texture, it invites mouse over. So they have the little, looks like little vertical lines. It's often called a touch zone or a grip zone, because it looks like if you were to feel it, there you would get like texture or ridges or something out of it. And that's become a very common convention, to use texture to indicate that you can grab and drag something from this point. Initially, they did not have that. And they were looking at their analytics. They had this fantastic drag and drop functionality, and no one was using it, because they were providing no visual cues that drag and drop was available. Then when they put that visual cue and people started to do it, they realized that people didn't understand where to drop and how to drop, and they weren't quite sure how the page was going to respond. So they added transparency, they added the ghost image, they added the valid and invalid highlight states. So they added a ton of visual cues to make the interaction more meaningful to people. None of that was available in the first iteration. You could drag, but you had to understand how it worked. You had to know it exists and understand how it worked. Find stationery is an example of a fairly complex guided process. It's a website where you can customize your own stationery, obviously. And if has anyone in here ever ordered or purchased custom like wedding stationery, wedding paperwork at all? Don't. It is a remarkably complex experience for all of the things that you have to order, and it all has to be, you know, styled the same way. Like, it's going to be the same paper and the same ivory color and the same ink type and the same ink color, and you have to get, you know, placeholder cards and menus and RSVPs and hold the date and thank you notes, and all of this stuff needs to be ordered. You're going to drop a few $100 easy on stationery for that. But people get it custom. They don't just go to Walmart and buy a box of wedding stuff. They get it custom made. And so this site has a really complex experience that is a guided process with liberal use of layers, modal dialogues to help you configure it. Jansport, same thing, lots of quick views and layers. And then the lightbox galleries that are so common today, a few years ago, were also a brand new thing, and that was one of the very first that was out there as like open source or public domain software. And so that's just a link to an example of that. So you can poke around those if you want to see some of the conventions. All right, so for the exercise in class this evening, we're going to take about 25 minutes or so, until about 20 after. Is that we're going to work on two things. I want you to think about, and we talked about the concept of storyboards and wire flows earlier for a reason. I want you to, if you can, get with your groups on your project sites tonight. So Casamora Cave Tours get together, Hardy Peanuts get together, Feeling Good get together. There's only the three, right?
Kung Fu.
Kung Fu. Get together. We haven't heard from Kung Fu for a long time. are the Kung Fu people still here?
Yeah.
Okay, there's still a couple of y'all out there. All right, next week we're picking on Kung Fu. That is, fair warning, post something, because we're gonna pick on Kung Fu. We haven't heard from you for a while. Get together with your project group. I want you to be able to share brain power, and I want you to think about two things tonight. One, think about just error messaging, but I want you to think about it from a content perspective. I want you to think about what would be the voice, what not how do you want to display error messages, each of you can make that decision, but how do you actually want to convey an error message? Is there a brand voice? You know, like, how would the Kung Fu site say it versus how might Hardy Farms Peanuts say it, right? So think about how you want to tell someone you screwed up and you need to fix it, but being nice about it. So I want you to think about voice and error messages, because no one ever thinks about that. So I want you to think about voice and error messages. And I want you to think about opportunities for guided processes on the site. And this is where the idea of either a storyboard or a wire flow comes in at a really high level, you know, sort of like that low fidelity wireframe sketch level. What are the sequence of pages that someone might go through for a guided process? What would be the wireframes, or what would be the different states of the pages? So it may be a wire flow if it's multiple pages, different pages, or it could be a storyboard if it's one page with multiple states. That's up to you to determine. But if there's a guided process, what are the steps, and what are you doing in each one of those steps? I don't think any of you have a case where you would need to have logic, but if you do have logic in there, like if you are on step three, if someone makes this choice, now they're going to go through, say, a different sequence of actions, or maybe it would go like this, versus this choice goes this way. So you might actually have a little bit of like a flow diagram there, if there's some logic involved. If you say, yes, I like beer, then these are the pages you go. If you say, no, I don't like beer, then these are the pages you go through, or something like that. But I want you to think about what would be the steps in that sequence, in that guided process. And it doesn't have to be in great detail, but just what do you think is going to happen at each step? And just sketch it up, just low-level sketching. So voice and sequence of steps. And sit with your project sites. I'll meander around during the class. We'll break at about 7:20 and listen to your voice.